Good morning, brothers. God bless you all. It's a good day to be alive. It's a good day to be a Christian, huh? Amen. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we reach out to you, Lord. We're always a needy people. We're always in need, Father, of your strength, of your word revealed to us, Father, your continued help in a Christian walk. We ask that this morning we set this time aside, Lord, that you would bless, Father, this service, that you would give us a good preparation of the heart here with the morning study, that you would help us, Lord God, to fully grasp the intent of your word. I pray for a simplicity of understanding this morning, that we can rejoice in the revelation you bestowed upon us, and then the faith you give us, and increase our knowledge, our faith, our wisdom, and Father, the conviction to adhere to your word, your conviction to follow what we already know in our heart is right. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. I have a title here from Prophecy to Testimony. And Jesus Testified of You as a subtitle. Right. It just kept on ringing, and found some scriptures. And in Revelation 1, the words that we're going to be touching on here is testimony and prophecy. You see, when Jesus is testifying, typically we testify of something that has already happened, your experiences of past. And a prophecy is something that will happen. But when Jesus says something, it just dawned on me, it's just as good as a testimony. So when we read these scriptures here, just they're your testimony. Some of them are lived out now. Some of them will be lived out. When you have a child and the Lord gives you a word for them, start living on that testimony. It's more than a prophecy when you speak a revelation. Amen. Amen. See, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must surely come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, in this case, who bare record, that's a witness, that's somebody who was accounted for that, of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ. And of all things that he saw. And we'll see in a minute here how Jesus himself said that we testify all those things that we know or that we see. And I do nothing, you know, unless the Father shows me first. Right. And we'll see here in the message, Brother Branham says, we would see Jesus in 62, in June 27. He says, and Jesus testified that he would come in another day. And in the scripture for that, I found it's Acts 1 here in verse 8. And he would come by the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost hasn't given then, right? He hadn't yet been sacrificed. So the Holy Ghost would come and speak against it then, because what is it? Calling that spirit of God that is doing the works of God an unclean spirit, a devil, see? Now, it's prophesied by Jesus Christ that it would happen that way, and it's got to be that way. And here's when he spoke it. He said, but ye shall be, even though this is in Acts, these words are in red letter. This is Jesus speaking. He says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, that ye shall be witnesses unto me. My testimonies. You should be the testimony of Jesus Christ lived out in you, both in Jerusalem and in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, Jesus, while they beheld, he was taken up. So this is very important words. He said this right before he was taken up. And a cloud received him out of their sight. So I have here it's very interesting. I looked for the word. I was studying this and pondering and just kept on saying, you know, the testifying is something that we testify of what we know, what we've seen, what has been lived out, your experiences, what the Lord has revealed to you, right? See, but Jesus prophesied these things, but he said them as a testimony. I will have a church. I will have a bride. I will build my church. She has made herself ready. You already been seen in the preview. Brother Neville, Brother Branham already seen him. He says, you already made it. Right. You had to have the character and maturity to receive something like that. He himself was able to see behind the curtain of time. See, testifying is the act, this is just the definition, the act of bearing witness to something, often a personal experience, a truth revealed to you, or a message you have received. I just copied and pasted that. I said, that's pretty much it. It's a good definition for me right now. Biblical context is in the New Testament. Testify is martupia, which means to give witness, to bear testimony or declare what you have seen, heard, or know. You see, and we do that in the natural, but in the spiritual, it's the same thing. You perceive these things, you know them by experience, or my sheep hear my voice. So these things are they're prophecies that have become testimonies in our life. And the same thing with this day and this message and the light, the day that we live now, the hour that we're in, relating to the resurrection and the capturing away of the church. See, let me put that back in here. And for prophesying is speaking forth the message given by the Holy Spirit. It's a revelation for a future event or a state, not merely teaching or sharing experiences. So it is also designed to build up and encourage and comfort the church. As we see in the definition itself, actually referenced 1 Corinthians 4:13, which here it is. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. And we know that's more of a prophecy when it was referring to in tongues and so forth and interpretations. But to prophesy is something that encourages you. And when Jesus speaks, what Jesus testified, what we're reading about here is ultimately is that his church, his bride, that there's a place for them. And that he, when you read these scriptures, I read them as good as a testimony that he's already doing in my life. And same thing with something you had to wait for, but you know that it's dropped in your heart and it's just as good as done. And I believe that. In Matthew 16:17, it says, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, right? Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who's in heaven." But here's what he said about us. He said, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter," right? "And upon this rock," the rock of revelation, "I," personal pronoun, "will build my church." So I read that as a testimony. That's his testimony. He's building it, and he will build it, and that his words just cannot fail. And that's such an anchor, is to know that Jesus spoke this about you. He's prophesied about you. So I'll give you a quick example. When the doctor had told me, in my case, that I wouldn't be able to bear a child or have a child and so forth, and it was supernatural, the faith of God that dropped in and the word of God. I opened up my Bible, and just somewhere here, his word came, and it says, "Your son's name is Jeremias." He just spoke like that. It was just impossible for me to disbelieve that. I was not my human faith. That's something that it's sovereign, and he said it. And I testified that. And I testified that because I didn't work that up. It's grace. I didn't work it up. And I testified, and I testified. And just to give you an example where these prophecies, you have to own them as testimonies. One time I was driving down the road and driving on the freeway coming from work, and a bad thought came in. This is before I was married. And he said, "What would you do different if you had a 2-year-old waiting for you back home right now?" Right when I was making a decision, you know, to go the way of sin, disbelief, and the flesh and carnal thinking. And he says, "What would you do different right now if you were going home, but it's a 2-year-old waiting for you?" And crickets, because not what I was thinking 2 minutes ago. And then the Lord just came and reproved me and said, "Well, do that now, because it will happen." And see, that's what the faith that we had to have for our children, for the wayward children, for the jobs, the situations, the finances, those things that seem impossible. When the faith of God drops in, or when we hear these scriptures, they're as good as, they're prophecies that are just testimonies. Some already have been completed in our lives, some will be, but we got to treat them like that. They're not just they're not just wishful thinking. They really are something that the Lord already knows. And see, the little children may not have a faith, like when you speak things into them, to tell them, like, you have a calling, you have this, you're testifying of them. God gives you a purpose. He gave you a purpose. He, the way you came was supernatural. It came by the spoken word, the revealed word. And these things that when we read this, that's the kind of faith that anchors us, is when we speak those words that we know are true, those prophecies, those testimonies, And they're becoming testimonies as we're speaking them and as we're having the faith. And then when it's from God, it gives you the patience to wait for it. Or to be able to bear with the circumstances because you didn't work it up. And that's a rest in that. Ephesians 5:27, that he may present to himself a glorious church. This is what this is his testimony. Because he's prophesying, but it's Ephesians, of course, Paul speaking, but he's speaking about Jesus, that he may present himself a glorious church, not having spot, wrinkle, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. See, that sounds too fantastic for me. But over time, I've been able to grow and believe every one of those words. Right. Amen. And you realize it's grace. You realize it's not by our human endowments for sure. See, the testimony of God, most of the times when he says, barely, barely, I say, he's basically saying, let me tell you something. Right. And he's testifying already. And I have appreciation for a man that can be a man of his own word, and he can say these things, and they're backed up before he said them. Barely, barely, I say unto thee, we speak of that we know and testify of what we have seen. Even it worked with him. And ye received not a witness. He was reproving them, right? But the takeaway there is that the testimonies are of the things that we know and have seen and or have heard and have the conviction that they will happen. I mean, he's already seen the portrait. He's already seen the bride in review. Because being God, he knows the beginning from the end. And that's the faith we need to have. 5:19 in John, he says, then answered Jesus and said unto him, then, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself, but that which he seeth the Father do. He actually saw the Father doing these things, him being in this dimension, you know, and being born in the human form. For what things soever he doeth, again, the Father, these also doeth the Son likewise. And I ask the Lord to help increase my faith because, see, this is when the faith becomes the doing. This is when it's faith enough that we actually do it likewise. Or we do what we see in the mirror of his word, we're down the road and he gives us a revelation and you know it's him speaking. And those are when we see him do it likewise here. 1 John 5:9, if we receive the witness of man, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. So he testifies of you, testifies of his office in the form of Son. And Matthew 11:27 says, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son, but the Father. And no man here refers to an unregenerate man. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. But then it says, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. So, and him to whom the Son will reveal the mystery of God. Amen? Revelation 3:14, we know that he's the Amen and he's faithful and a true witness. And can you imagine, you know, somebody tells you something and he's saying, I'm the faithful and the true witness. And then who said that? The Amen. The one that said, yes, so be it. The one that just, as soon as he says, let there be light, things are already following the order, following the life behind it. And see, in Luke 4:17, his testimony that he had, and there was, I've been standing in this place. I had the privilege to go to Jerusalem multiple times, but one of the times we did go with a group of believers and some minister meetings there, and we were inside, and I remember one of the brothers, he got up in the synagogue. It's all rock. It's small. It's about this size, but it's kind of small the way it's shaped. And he got up in the pulpit, and he read these same scriptures. So I have a good visual of where Jesus stood in this place. It's a lovely place, and it's still standing there. And it says, and there was delivered unto me the book of the prophet. See, this is the prophecy. And here comes a testimony. And when he had opened the book, he opened it. He found the place where it was written. he found himself in the volume of the book, as we know. Same thing that happens to us with this redirecting message we've been given, right? It points us to the same scriptures. And then that's when he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, right, to and anointed me to preach the acceptable year to the poor and so forth. And then he closed the book again, and he gave it to the minister. And he sat down, and the eyes of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him, on the testimony itself. See, Prophet Isaiah, there was sitting the prophecy. He found it, he picked up the scroll, and he says, here's a testimony. And when he said, has anointed the Lord upon me, that me was strictly him, and anointed me to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. I can only imagine just the reality of that testimony coming alive. Right. And we stand in awe of that, but how many times has it become life in our, true in our lives, right? How many times is that spark of life? I heard a testimony of someone here that just at a grocery store, and they just stand up to the person and say, you know, there's a light about you. And that's grace. And that's an example of a glimpse of a moment where somebody can just see the written epistle. And see, that's what that testimony does, is their eyes were fixed on him. Not so much on the minister, it said there. They were fixed on the word made flesh, on the actual manifestation. And this is an example where he says, I and my Father are one. These are all testimonies or prophet. This is a testimony, actually, he's saying. I and my Father are, past tense, present tense, one. And we know in many other places he said, I and the Father and you, and I and you, right? So it's something that he's extended to the believer. And what I have here are some scriptures that I found where it's, where we have the testimony as well, and then sometimes we testify of God, but it's his testimony. And 1 John 5:11-12, it says, and this is the record, or the witness, the testimony, that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in the Son. He that hath the Son hath the life. So this is the believer's testimony. This is John, in the book of John, 1 John. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not the life. I know there's the other scripture that on 5:24, John, the normal gospel of John, 5:24, where it says that we have path from death unto life, right? And that's a testimony. He's actually saying that that's past. I remember when I first read that and it was revealed to me, there was a rest in that, because there's a doubt and an unbelief, but when we anchor with any of these verses that become that sound true in you, that became a testimony now. That prophecy. Revelation 19:6-7, I heard, as it were, a voice of great multitude. That's one voice here. And as the voice of many waters typified, and as the voice of mighty thunderings. So all of those three examples of a voice saying hallelujah. And it goes on, right, to say, for the Lord omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. So see, this is a testimony, and it's a prophecy, and I see it as a testimony. And his wife hath made herself ready. See, I love how it says, the marriage of the Lamb is come. It gives it in that perfect present tense. It didn't even say will, it's is. So it's in some of the people that have already been the invisible union, right, of the marriage of the Lamb of God, the bride and the Lamb. But then it says, and his wife hath made herself ready, in past tense. So see, we've been seen, the bride has been seen in the preview already. And the way, you know, he calls those things as aren't, as of though they were. Because he knoweth, he's seen them, he's heard them, and he said, well, he's the word, right? But when that happens in the believer, is when we have the witness in ourselves. And here in 1 John 5:10, it says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. So see, that's the prophecy that now became alive. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he had not believed the record, the testimony, that God hath gave of his Son. So in other words, disbelief is to disbelieve God's own testimony of himself, of his Son, and even of him in you. It's disbelief of Christ in you, the hope of glory, the mystery of God there. Revelation 19:10, this is familiar scripture where it says, "And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, See it, do it not, for I'm a fellow servant of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus, so worship God." And then it says, "For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." See the words testimony here and the word prophecy? It's the spirit of prophecy is to have the testimony of Jesus. It's what allows you to understand some of these prophecies. Is you have to have the testimony of Jesus. And we have somebody, you know, the prophets that just come and reveal the unfurthering developments of the word. And for us to hear this day and this message that spoke specifically about, just like Jesus came one time through John, it's speaking that Jesus is biblical. Jesus is coming again for his bride. And I know that there's many things that can get convoluted, but ultimately it's just another level of, happens to be the last step, you know, of among what the Lord is doing in the Gentile bride. And then there will be others, right, with Israel and the different ones. And there will be witnesses, the two witnesses unto them. And they're going to have the spirit of prophecy. And John 1:7-8, it says, "The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light," right? And then he was not that capital L light, but was sent to bear witness of that one, of that light. And this is what he said, right? "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." But look what Jesus says later on chapter 5 of John. "But I have a greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me." Amen. And that's the testimony that we have right now, is we have the prophet's testimony. We have his witness. We have his witness of Jesus' own revelation in his life. And it's been given to us and preached with, you know, by the Holy Ghost to be able to be partakers of the same revelation. That's just the way he works. It's in Amos, right? I believe it's where it says he does do nothing unless he shows to the servants, the prophets. Here we have in John 8:12, just to wrap up here. "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And see, this is it's his testimony. He's basically saying, he that followeth, or it says, "I am the light of the world," right? And then, "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness." And I want to believe that more and more with all my heart, because I believe that if you're a Christian, you should not continually dwell in any darkness. The God's Holy Spirit in you should bring that conviction. I know it does in me, but shall have the light of life. In 1 John 1:1, it says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled." In the Spanish version, it says, "of the word of life," or the verb, that active word of life. And see, this is their testimony, right? They're testifying of the man Jesus, if you will, but at the same time, it says, "of the word of life." We were able to touch the word of life. And that's how practical it is of a testimony for him to the Son has been revealed. In 1 John, the next verse, it says, "For the life was manifested," the life itself, "and we have seen it and bear witness." They're testifying now of the one that testified to us, "and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us." It's a clear understanding of how God spoke these things. When God first in his mind said, "the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world," that was his prophecy. Jesus came and did it a testimony, but we know that none of his prophecies or words would ever fail. They're already done. In Psalm 66, verse 16, this is the psalmist saying, "Come and hear, all ye that fear God. I will declare," which is speak, testify, "what he has done for my soul." That's what we do as believers, as Christians. We all have our testimony. We all have a word of sure prophecy. It reminds me of Psalm, it's 119, I think it's verse 75 or 175 in those areas, where it says, where it says to anchor me, or basically to give me patience to wait on that word that you're giving to your servant. You know, that promise that we have of God, that one thing that you're holding on to, is begin to walk in it and believe it as a testimony. If God gave it to you, he spoke it, he would do it. An example of the lion has roared, who can but speak when the Lord speaks, right, or prophesy. This is what Brother Branham said. I want to finish the last scriptures. The king roars, who can but prophesy? It says, who can but testify? See, the words prophesy, testify, when the king roars. In another place, in 63, he says, in the way of a true prophet, when God speaks, the prophet cries out the spoken word. Amen? That's just Amos there. Perfectly. And then Revelation says, they that overcame him, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Those prophesies that became, it's the same as Jesus when he got up and he found himself on the volume and he said, this day the scripture is fulfilled before your eyes. That happens to the believer multiple times. And in Hebrews here, I'm going to wrap up. It says, he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts by it, talking about Abel, being dead. It says, and by it, he, Abel, being dead, yet speaketh. So we know in the Hebrews 11, it talks about the hall of fame, right? Where there was by faith this one, by faith the other. And then chapter 12, it picks up by saying, wherefore, seeing that we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run, help us, Lord, with patience, the race that is set before us. And then just a word here on a witness of sufferings of Christ, right? Partakers of the glory that shall be revealed, is speaking about an elder, right? And then it says, Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go. Amen? And then I'm going to wrap it up here just because it's time. I go and prepare a place for you, and I will come again. We believe that just as, that's his testimony, that's his prophecy, but count it as good as a testimony, and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. We'll wrap it up here. God bless you all. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord.